God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our gospel reading, as Jesus talks to his disciples and also for us today, watch out for wolves. He first of all mentions that false prophets are wolves. But first of all, before we get into our text, we sort of have to set the stage. What is a wolf? Plain and simple, a wolf is any creature, particularly there is a particular animal called the wolf, that devours something else. At least for today's text, I want to sort of use the implication that anything that is sort of devouring your flesh or going after you, that's consuming, in one essence, is a wolf. Now, Jesus particularly names false prophets as wolves. This is very important, especially for the Christian church, because Jesus even names the fact that they come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, typically, being here at Trinity, I can't get the word past the word sheep without some reference to the stained glass behind me. Beautiful stained glass of Jesus being the good shepherd leading the sheep. And Scripture talks in many places on how Christians are those sheep. So just look at the stained glass for a moment and tell me, where's the wolf? Don't worry, I did this in the Sunday school opening. And they came up with some conclusions, but the bottom line is, you really can't tell. If the wolf is doing a good job in wearing sheep's clothing, you won't be able to tell at all. This brings me back to some recent history in the United States of America of a cult leader by the last name of Koresh down in Waco, Texas. One of the things that he had, it was the ability to memorize Scripture. Some said that he actually had the entire Bible memorized and was able to quote it off the top of his head and quote it very accurately. So how do you distinguish between the wolves that sort of consume people and the men of God who are trying to proclaim his word faithfully, truly? And the answer is going back to that definition of a wolf. A wolf definition is that of one who consumes. David Koresh consumed people, did not lead them, as our text for today would suggest, to the true Savior, Redeemer of the world. So Jesus very carefully says, watch out for false prophets. Yes, they will come. They will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Jesus already sets up the example. You're going to see by the product. But at first you're going to be attracted to them because they're going to be a sheep, but just wait in time. You'll eventually see what kind of product are they producing. Likewise, Jesus then sets the scenario. You go to a tree, a good tree, you're expecting good fruit. You go to a bad tree, you expect bad fruit. So there is some result here. A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. But then not just get into so much of a performance-based and saying, what's the outcome here? He now changes the tables a little bit. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that interesting? And Jesus sets up the scenario where there will be many people who will prophesy in his name, drive out demons, perform many miracles. And we would expect people who perform miracles in the name of Jesus to be good, committed people. Except for who are they committed to? Are they committed to themselves? Well, then that makes them a wolf. If they're committed to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in growing and nurturing the flock of God, then they are on the correct path. Notice the difference. They may do miracles, they may say all the right words, but who gains? Who benefits? Does our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, benefit from their actions? Or do they benefit from their own actions? We don't even have to go too far in today's world with televangelists. Maybe about 10, 15 years ago had a very interesting scenarios where it seemed like they benefited very greatly. But then how did the people of God benefit? Some may consider some of those evangelists to be wolves. Jesus then explains this even a little bit more. Talks about the man who builds his house on the right foundation of the rock. That if we as Christians build our foundation of faith upon the rock who is Jesus Christ, it will stand. It will bear the ultimate fruit of eternal life to be with God in heaven above. But Jesus' warning still applies to the church and for the community of believers. There are wolves. They bear fruit, seemingly good, but the difference really is who benefits. Does God benefit, or do they benefit? We can use the same example of sort of being on the lookout and guard for wolves even in our own lives. In our own lives, we may feel that there are some people who are being a little wolfish, if I could probably use that as a term. Those people who always seem to be devouring your flesh and going after you, who just want a little bit of a piece of you to create that pain and that agony. In Jesus' words, watch out for them, are also very, very appropriate. We do need to be on guard. But before we start complaining about the other people who seem to be nibbling on our flesh, let's take a good look at ourselves. Because as we truly understand ourselves, yes, we are redeemed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit for those who profess and believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we cannot deny that while we're still on this side of heaven, that sinful human nature of ours still comes up from time to time. And based on today's message, when that sinful human nature comes up, we can call that being a little wolfish. Isn't there own times in our own lives where we do sin, we do fall short of God's glory, where sometimes we just want to take a bite out of someone else and consume them? I know it doesn't sound very Christian-like. We're here at Trinity Lutheran Church in West Chicago. You would think we'd be a bunch of good Christians. But let's just be honest. Within us, there is that sinful human nature. Within us, there is that desire to get even, to have revenge, to lash out in anger, and to mow people down with our words and our actions, not giving any care to who they are. That sounds a bit wolfish. So we go back to our text, and we say, Lord, have mercy. I may complain about all the evil people in this world. I may complain about my own physical life being attacked on all sides, but I also need to remind myself that sometimes I'm the one going on the offensive. So what do? When we find ourselves in that situation, again, we go back to God's word. His word of grace, His word of mercy. Why did Jesus take on flesh and blood and live among us? To redeem us. To buy us back, to put us back together again so that we can be with God in heaven above, to bring us to eternal life. Those are all words of building, restoring, bringing back to what the Garden of Eden was initially designed to be, a place of paradise. Jesus didn't come and take on flesh and blood for his own personal consumption. He died to free us. Not to give himself a greater glory. He had the ultimate glory in the universe. He took on flesh and blood so that we could be with him. It doesn't sound very wolfish. That is truly the Savior we believe in. As Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When we find ourselves operating a bit wolfish, we have to realize we're not on the same path that Jesus wants us to be on. He wants us to be showing God's love and His forgiveness to those around us. And yes, even though it's very hard, even showing God's love and forgiveness to those who are being wolfish against me, who want to have a little bit more of my flesh and blood, who seem to be consuming me. So where does that leave us when we're at the point of being bitten by our own sin or the sin of other people around us? We go back again to the rock of truth, which our text suggests. What does God's word have to say? In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus reminds us, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus here is suggesting, and a good suggestion, that yes, we are going to be bitten by the wolves of this life on this side of heaven. But there's one thing that they cannot take away, and that is the faith given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When water was connected to God's holy word, a miracle happened. The Holy Spirit created that faith within you. You are now a child of God. And yes, the wolves of this world can take away your house, your home, your career, your friends, your family, all your possessions, but there's one thing that the wolf of this world can never gnaw on, and that's your faith. That's God's doing. And there's a reason why the wolf of this world can never gnaw on it. Because Jesus, when he died on the cross, ultimately defeated sin, death, and the devil. Jesus is more powerful. So in the midst of our heartache, when we start complaining about the things of this world encroaching upon our lives and how difficult it is and all the pains and agonies, we go back to a Savior and say, "Lord, have mercy. Bestow your grace upon me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me not to get attached to the things of this world, but attached to the faith that you have so wonderfully given to us as a gift." If I can use one other person as an example of this, from the Old Testament, Job chapter 19, verse 25. Someone who truly understood the concept of the wolves of life, so to speak. He lost a lot of his family. He lost his money, and he was a wealthy person. His own wife basically tried to tell him, "Just curse God and die and get it done with. Your life is so miserable." His own body was, in one essence, abandoning him to decay. And his, quote, friends who came to encourage him were not very encouraging. Even in the midst of being devastated and chewed upon by all those different angles, in chapter 19, beginning with verse 25, he says these familiar words, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Talk about strong words of faith. Knowing that after the world basically consumed him and had their fun with him, he knew he was going to be able to see God face to face and be with him in heaven above. The wolves in this life didn't make that much of a difference. They took everything else away, but not his faith. What about you and your life right now? Do you feel like your life is being munched on by many directions? Like Job, we need to remember his words and the words that Jesus is also teaching us. The words of building our faith, our life upon his word, upon the rock, that the wind and the waves and the elements of this earth cannot destroy. The one thing that can never be taken away from you. As Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We need to hang on to those words. And for those who let go of those words, because unfortunately you can let go of it. The world will try to convince you to give up on this wonderful thing of faith. Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, verse 26, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." Let us not be ashamed of his words, but to hang on to his words. Because in his word is also life and comfort. Do we not remember at the end of Matthew, Jesus says, "I am with you always to the end of the age"? We got to remember our good shepherd who leads us by his word is also with us always. And if it isn't enough just to hear Jesus at his gracious promises, we go back to what it really means to be a savior versus a wolf. A wolf who consumes, a savior who delivers. Our savior who died on the cross to deliver us from our own sins, and not even that, even more, who says, I will give of my own body and blood with the bread and the wine. Again, for the strengthening of our faith and the forgiveness of our sins. And why do we need this Lord's Supper, the sacrament of the altar? Because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knows that while we're still in this life of ours on this side of heaven, we are going to be beaten by the wolves. We are going to be munched and gnawed on. And he says, here is strength. With earthly elements of bread and wine, here is strength. Here's forgiveness of sins when you want to lash out at the world. Here's love. Here's forgiveness. Here's strength. Here's the healing balm that only the Word of God can provide to a flesh that seems to be so easily corrupted by the world around us. So while we may be quick to point out and saying, look at all the wolves in this world, whether they be cult leaders or quote-unquote sinners, we are also reminded that even within us, we can become a little wolfish at times. So again, we go back to God's Word and we say, Lord, have mercy. Forgive me for when I have fallen short of your glory. Help me to share your love and your forgiveness. Yes, we live in a pack of wolves around us. And yes, we see our Savior leading and guiding the sheep. And we ask the Lord to continue to strengthen us, to be with us each and every day, so that we hang on to this faith He has so freely given to us with a lot of zeal and with the help of the Holy Spirit. It may not soften the blows of the wolves, but there is one thing that we can be assured of, just as Job was assured. In the end, we will see God, yet in my flesh I will see God. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.